I read what you read.
Speaking of reporters, you have had and do have still a similar function to what this radio station had for a long time, and that was young people starting out in their careers. It was a good place to learn, maybe not your first job, but it was a step on the road, right, in career building. You've had a lot of talented people come through the newsroom.
Yes.
Over the years. Is journalism still alive? There's a lot of people asking, in light of what the last year has been like, in light of the fact that we now have so many elements of the media who are aligned politically, left or right, and they're grinding an axe every single day. Does journalism still exist?
I think journalism is probably thriving under these circumstances. You need journalism more than ever. I do think for a community newspaper such as the Register, there's a diminished flow of young journalism graduates who want to start small in print. They have so many other outlets for journalism. So, but yet, it's who doesn't like to tell stories? And that's what journalism allows you to do.
Mm-hmm. So a young person today can get together with some friends and create their own internet-based web service, blogging, creating videos?
The formats for you to find your niche on the internet are just endless. And journalism is funded by a lot of nonprofits these days, so you can go off and do long-form journalism or special project journalism. It's an exciting time. At the local level, we have a very dedicated group of reporters. I would say right now we have the most rooted reporters at the Register that we have ever had. People who have sunk roots in the community. Often they have spouses who also work here, so that makes the economics more viable.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good sign then. Good for the future. Will newspapers keep printing paper versions of the newspaper for very much longer? I think the death of actual printed newspapers has been predicted many times.
There will be a death of newspapers, I think, for the most part. But who knows when that will be. I think the Register, the industry, has lost significant print readership, while online viewing has soared. And at the Register, that's certainly the case. When we had the shooting the other day, the double shooting, we got almost 100,000 visitors to our stories online, which is a phenomenal number. Numbers represent people coming back for updates.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the need is there. The only question is making sure there's a economic base for it. And these days, subscribers to the print product are asked to pay more than they ever did before to compensate for diminishing advertising.
Mm-hmm. Because no one has really figured out how to get people to willingly pay for the online content in the same way they used to willingly pay for the paper version.
They pay pennies for the online ad and dollars for the print ad.
Mm-hmm.
An advertiser would.
Yeah. And the Register is just one of many examples of companies that have gone different directions on the whole paywall concept. And should it be free? Should it be a charge? I don't understand what the answer is going to be for that. We clearly haven't gotten to the end of that experimentation.
I think if we had been speaking 4 or 5 years ago, there might have been a sense of urgency or greater alarm. Today there seems to be I think things have stabilized significantly for a community newspaper such as the Register, so that we can plod along and let the economics work themselves out while being in a stable situation.
That's good to hear. So let's spend some time talking about what you see coming down the road in terms of our local news in the community. You've got all this great track record from the past, so people who've experienced the past should be able to predict the future with accuracy, right?
Yes. I predict traffic will grow. Traffic congestion will grow in 2018, Barry. I have every confidence this will happen.
You're out on a limb.
I think American Canyon, Highway 29, will be an ever greater choke point. I just know it. One of the stories that elicits great reader response is when American Canyon plans industrial development, housing development, and all of it will dump more vehicles, often at peak, you know, commute times, onto Highway 29, and that just breaks people's hearts. They see gridlock. And I don't know that the road situation is going to change, so I think our expectations or tolerances probably have to change. And maybe that's the price of living here and not in Fremont, where already they're in a much more compacted situation. This coming year is the year when every jurisdiction in the county is trying to implement Prop 64, which allows for recreational marijuana, the sale of it. And so far, nobody in Napa County, no jurisdiction, wants to talk about sales of marijuana for recreational uses. Napa maybe will allow, has authorized someone to come in and sell medical marijuana. But although the voters of the Valley substantially endorsed Prop 64, everyone's playing it more conservatively in local government as to how they're going to allow that new possibility to become real for people that want the product here in the county.
It's an interesting case of what's the right way to put it? Being an interesting example of being afraid of something that I don't understand what the fear is in terms of dispensaries at this point. When there are dispensaries in every other county around you, is there a fear that people are going to come from out of town who are not suitable to be in Napa to buy weed?
Napa is just a more conservative place somehow at its core, and I think the marijuana issue is indicative of that. The wine industry has to decide, do they want to embrace marijuana? And apparently there are a few players that see a market there, but they're doing it out of Sonoma. They have the brand to protect, and nobody wants to tarnish, no one wants to kill the golden goose here. And I think marijuana is just thought to be an unknown. The unknowns are great, so people are proceeding with hyper-caution.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Prop 64 and traffic in American Canyon, two pretty out-there predictions that be concerns for the coming year.
The thing that holds my interest more than anything is what's going to happen in downtown in terms of First Street Napa, the old Napa Town Center. Mm-hmm. Todd Zapolsky, 5-6 years ago, started amassing voluminous amounts of commercial real estate. The Archer Hotel has finally opened. That's supposed to be a catalyst for tenanting this vast amount of retail space. But the market for brick-and-mortar stores has been deteriorating across the country. And I think they succeed in certain niche situations. A tourist destination might be one of them. But the clock keeps ticking, and there's very little happening. There are signs of new tenants downtown, and the Archer has finally opened, but it should be very interesting to see what happens the remainder of the year.
Yeah, it would be pretty phenomenal to go back and track, say, from the inception of that project. As you say, it's been 6 years.
At least.
Probably.
You know.
What the data would say about brick-and-mortar retail 6 years ago versus today. People are less and less likely to shop for anything that's sort of in the ordinary range now. Everything that's ordinary can be delivered to your doorstep. Why would you leave the house for that?
Apparently, tourists are a different breed, and tourists have a mindset to spend.
Right.
And shopping goes right along with sightseeing and wine tasting. So, and Napa is a tourist destination, which is perhaps the most profound change in my time here, because it always struggled. It was always reincarnating itself, and nothing ever went anywhere to speak of. And with tourist dollars, we're going to have a we'll have what the tourists want downtown. Yeah. But at least it may be prosperous. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You recall, of course, Ed Huber.
Yes.
The downtown jewelry store owner who used to come on this program on a pretty regular basis when he was a city council member. And I remember him, at one point he franchised or operated the gift shop at the Embassy Suites, which was closer to the highway. And he was obsessed with the fact that there was this stream of traffic on Highway 29 that if you could just get them to get off the highway before they got to St. Helena, you would capture some of that tourist revenue. And there was just no way to entice them off the highway.
He even opened an outlet on the square in Sonoma to, again, attract the tourists.
That's where the business is.
Those early retailers, the Wigger Brothers and Ed Huber, and boy, they struggled consistently, and the survivors from that period are very few, but there are a few.
Yeah. Again, our guest, Kevin Courtney, for our Reporters Roundtable this week. I'm going to try again and see if I can play one of these commercials I'm supposed to play. We'll see if the computer is fixed. And if it is, you'll hear a message, and then you'll hear us again. If not, you'll hear an awkward pause, and then we'll start talking again. So here we go.
Start your day by enjoying Red Hen Bar and Grill's large breakfast selection. At Red Hen Bar and Grill, you can enjoy American breakfast or experience the culinary expertise of our Mexican heritage chefs. Red Hen Bar and Grill is open at 6 a.m. daily with breakfast served until 11 a.m. From now until January 28th, when you buy one breakfast entree at full price, you get the second breakfast entree half off. Come taste breakfast favorites such as our Big Breakfast, Chicken Fried Steak and Eggs, Huevos Rancheros, Eggs Benedict, and so much more. We welcome you to Napa's own Red Hen Bar and Grill.
Hola, mi valle. This is Isela Martin, the host of the new KVON show, La Hora with Isela. Tune in to 1440 AM or stream KVON.com every Thursday morning at 9 AM to learn and listen about our current topics, events, and happenings that affect all of us here in our local community. That's La Hora with Isela every Thursday morning at 9 AM on 1440 AM, KVON, or streaming at KVON.com.
All right, I'm ready.
This is Steve Gorman Sports.
Because right now we've got an update on Kawhi Leonard. The man's only been in 9 games this year, and he is now back away from the court. He will be out indefinitely now, still rehabbing the same quad injury. The announcement today was Kawhi has made significant progress and continues to move forward in his rehabilitation. This is the best approach for the next steps in his return to play. He has not had a setback. They simply say that his thigh has not healed the way they had hoped, so he's back and focusing on rehab.
Yeah, they're done.
The Spurs are done?
Well, come on. I mean, what are we going to he's going to take half of the season off and come back blazing and make a race in the West?
The hardest remaining schedules in the league. The Spurs have the hardest schedule left of any team. Yeah.
Steve Gorman Sports.
I'm in a nightmare hallucination.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
And we're back now at 8:23. In this hour, we've been talking with Kevin Courtney from the Napa Valley Register. He is the city editor of that newspaper and has been reporting the news for over four decades here in the city of Napa and around Napa Valley. I imagine you have so many stories to tell that you never will tell. Is that accurate?
I have a few stories. Every so often, someone famous will die, and I will say, I interviewed that person, you know. Dr. Heimlich, I rode in a car with him once and interviewed him. And I interviewed Odetta, and that was a great experience. And Barbara Boxer, when she was like a Marin County supervisor, came over and sat at my desk in the Register newsroom. And she was all peppy and all, and next thing you know, she's a legend in Washington. Mm-hmm. There was the Big and Tall chain of stores. Do you recall that?
I do.
Zimmer.
Yep.
Anyway, I interviewed Mr. Zimmer. Zimmerman. And he was a big, tall guy, mm-hmm. and right at my desk. And, I haven't kept track, but they passed through.
Something for your scrapbook.
From a scrapbook.
Yeah. Has Napa become a boring place compared to the things that we used to have so much joy over, things like the clock tower, things like the time they ran the bulls through the streets downtown before the fair?
That was great.
There used to be a certain frivolity, a certain sense of anything might happen. And around here lately, all we get are earthquakes and fires and floods, and there's none of that fun anymore.
Well, some would say that the earthquakes, fires, and floods are enough, Barry, because as soon as you've regained your equilibrium from one of those natural disasters, here comes another one rolling your way. I don't know. If you have a young family in this town and you're doing school things and sports things and crab feed things, life might be pretty full. If you're an older person and you're into wine, you can just, taste all day long. I don't know. I do miss some of – I miss the Thursday night street fair downtown, which was great. But we still have the 4th of July fireworks. I don't know that shifting so many of the downtown events to the Oxbow Commons – I guess it works from a space point of view, but I always thought there was great energy in having events choking the main thoroughfares downtown. Maybe today they would be choking commerce and visitor access to their hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. But I sort of roll with the punches. In news, you don't fight it. You kind of welcome change, and here it comes.
And you've seen so much of it, as we were describing, where you've lived since you started working for the Register in Browns Valley. You now have vacation rentals, part-time residents around you. We talked about density and traffic, these being the big differences. How much further can those trends go before we lose the sense of that town that you fell in love with back in the 70s?
Well, I have begun to question that we have much control over what is happening. I think economic forces trump local policies big time. Napa, in the most contentious issues at city council in my time were slow growth versus natural growth, and that happened in the 70s, early 80s, and slow growth won decisively. It won so decisively that today when you see a housing project, people's hearts seize up because it represents a threat. But it's because there's so little growth. And housing prices, as a result, are going through the roof. They certainly are Bay Area-wide, and we're not the worst example of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how the affordability issue is one that, in a way, threatens our future. Many towns have become posh incrementally. Monterey, Carmel, Vail, whatever. And they import their workforces from Sand City and outlying places. And Napa, I think, is well on its way to becoming ever more elite, more second homes, more retirees, and we will import our workforce. Highway 29 through American Canyon is scheduled to go to 6 lanes. Jamison has become a nice sluice way from Fairfield and Vacaville. And I think that's our destiny, and I don't think there's anything that a local politician can do about it.
I think that's a perfect place to end today. I hope you'll come back. Will you be part of the Reporters Roundtable in the future when we have hot local topics, maybe politics?
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate the invite.
A noncommittal answer. I know a noncommittal answer when I hear one. I'm going to get you on the record eventually. All right. Kevin Courtney, a pleasure. Thanks for the work that you do. And you're one of those people in the community that kind of lets us know everything's okay. Your Sunday column comes out. Life goes on. We know everything's okay.
And you're a community institution too, Barry.
All right. We'll take a break now, and when we come back in the last half hour of today's show, some time for various and sundry things in the news, what's been happening in the last hour we've been talking, we'll find out, and update you on government shutdowns and all kinds of other things. So stay tuned. More to come here on KVON.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming.